Now, we know that the Taliban are growing stronger every day. They control about one-third the territory of Afghanistan, including two provinces bordering China, Badakhshan as well as Xinjiang. Although reports do say now that Afghan security forces have succeeded in reclaiming Badakhshan. But the Taliban are also in control of the border crossings between Iran and Afghanistan at Islam Qala, as well as Torkundi, which is the border crossing between Turkmenistan in Central Asia and Afghanistan. Now, of course, the significance of all this is that if you control the exits and entry routes, then you control the revenue streams, which is extremely important in this fight for Kabul. The other thing that has happened these last few days is that American troops have cut and run from Bagram base, the linchpin of their operations in Afghanistan these past 20 years, which leads me to the following two cliches. The first, that Afghanistan is a graveyard of empires, and the second, that a new chapter in the old great game is beginning again. But before I talk much more about all of that, dear viewer, I'd like to make an appeal to you. Please do subscribe and pay just a little bit for the Prince free, fair, objective, and unhyphenated journalism. There is a join button on the screen in front of you, so please do click on that and you will be greeted with an array of options, very special, very exclusive, only for subscribers. So do pay just a little bit. There are links both to subscribe for an international audience as well as separately for a domestic one. Now back to my column, Global Print, in which this week I talk about Afghanistan. Now the two cliches that I was talking to you about earlier, the first, that Afghanistan is a graveyard of empires. Now, you don't need to go very much further into the past. Just the last 150 years, the British Empire tried to control Afghanistan and was never able to do that despite fighting three wars. Much more recently, from 1979 to 1989, the Soviet Union was in control of Afghanistan. They invaded that country in 1979, but exited 10 years later, bloodied and bowed. And 2 years afterwards, in 1991, the Soviet Union disintegrated itself. The defeat in Afghanistan was one major factor in that disintegration. We saw in those 10 years how the Americans, with a little help from Pakistan, fought the godless communists, the Soviet troops, and then fled as quickly after the Soviets were defeated. Now, fast forward to 2021. Last week, American forces withdrew from Bagram base, which has been the linchpin of their operations these last 20 years. But now, Bagram was infamous for the prisons that it held, in which Afghan civilians were tortured very, very badly on very little suspicion or accusation. Now, the Americans are left. In fact, they're on course to leave completely by September 11th, which will be the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, in which more than 3,000 Americans were killed 20 long years ago. So what is the situation in Afghanistan today? In one word, or in two words, it's very bad. The Taliban are advancing every day. They are taking large parts of rural Afghanistan, or they still haven't been able to take any of the big urban cities. They came into Kandahar but were repelled back. None of the other major cities, whether it's Mazar-e-Sharif or Herat, are under control of the Taliban, although they are knocking on the doors of these major cities. So you could argue that the Afghan chessboard is up for grabs again, which brings me to the old cliche, which is that on the ashes of the old great game, a new chapter is being written. Now, who are the new powers that are trying to get a foot into the Taliban door or into the Afghan door? The first, of course, is China, the big Asian country, well on its way to becoming global number one. Now, China and Pakistan have a very, very close relationship. So Chinese diplomats based in Pakistan have been trying to inveigle themselves into the affections of the Taliban. They've been speaking to Taliban leaders these past several months and have promised them that they will build for the Taliban, for Afghanistan, highways connecting several Afghan cities like Kabul and Mazar-e-Sharif to Pakistani cities like Peshawar, which can then in turn be connected to the China-Pakistan economic corridor. And we've seen just a couple of days ago, Sohail Shaheen, who is a spokesperson of the Taliban, telling the South China Morning Post inviting the Chinese to come to Afghanistan and saying that they promise that they will not tolerate any Uyghur separatists who are anti-China, of course, and that in turn that the Chinese must spend money and that they must invest in Afghanistan so that both peace and commerce can be a byproduct of the China-Pakistan economic corridor. That's the first country which is trying to expand its influence in Afghanistan. That's China. The second country that's trying to expand its influence is Russia. Now, just a couple of months ago, the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, was in Delhi, from where he went to Islamabad for talks with the Pakistanis. We know that Russia's special envoy, Zamir Kabulov, who is the point person for Afghanistan, has been in touch with the Taliban for the last several months and has been assuring them that Russia will hold its silence if the Taliban ensure that the insurgency does not spill out of Afghanistan's borders into Central Asia and then across into the soft underbelly of Russia. Now, the Pakistanis are very worried that Islamic insurgency inside Afghanistan could have an impact on Central Asia, which in turn would have a domino effect on stability in Russia. So the Russians have been very, very keen to establish relations with the Taliban. Now, the third country with incredible influence in Afghanistan remains the US. Perhaps I should say it's the first country with influence in Afghanistan, because the US has been not just the most important player these past 20 years, but over the last couple has been in talks with the Taliban on an exit plan for itself. Last year, it cut a deal with the Taliban, which entailed the Taliban giving up violence. Now, we know that not just has the Taliban broken that promise, but that violence has gone up much, much more. Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. point person, remains in negotiations with the Taliban. It is said that the Taliban wants the Americans to put pressure on the Afghan government to release even more Taliban prisoners in jail. We don't know what the resolution of that particular point is, but the Americans continue to play a very, very important role. And the fourth country to play an extremely important role in Afghanistan is, of course, Pakistan. Perhaps it's the most influential nation on the Afghan chessboard. We've seen how over the last 20 years, the Pakistanis have employed a cut and thrust kind of strategy, sometimes withdrawing, sometimes pushing in. With Osama bin Laden, for example, who was given shelter several years ago, perhaps soon after 9/11, he was discovered in 2001. We know what happened. He was killed by US troops, and the Pakistanis refused to admit that they were sheltering him. They said they didn't know who he was, which was strange, because a man who was over 6.5 feet tall, how could he have been hidden in a house in Abbottabad, a stone's throw away from the Pakistan Military Academy? So we don't know who's lying on this front, but certainly when Osama bin Laden was killed, the Pakistanis were deeply embarrassed about that, but nevertheless, they came back, and over the last 10 years, their very, very negative influence in Afghanistan has only increased. Having said that, today, the Pakistanis hold a lot of the cards. In fact, they hold most of the cards. Both the Afghan government knows that and the Taliban knows that. So we also know that the Pakistan military establishment continues to advise the Taliban. I'm not very clear whether they're continuing to give weaponry and men like they had done 30 years ago when they helped the Americans fight the Soviets. But today, the Pakistanis remain a very, very influential player on the Afghan chessboard. Now, you would ask me, dear viewer, what about India? Now, India has been a close friend of Afghanistan, especially these past 20 years, given it $3 billion in aid and has tried to help the Afghans in many, many ways, small and big. But the point remains that as the Pakistanis increase their influence, as the Russians flirt with the Taliban, as the Chinese promise untold riches, the Indians also look at their narrowing options in Afghanistan. And that has driven them towards restarting a conversation with Iran, which is very interesting because not so long ago, India and Iran were on different sides of the fence, especially over the Indo-US nuclear deal that was being negotiated about 10 years ago. But perhaps circumstances make strange bedfellows. So India and Iran find themselves on the same side again. And External Affairs Minister Mr. Jaishankar was in Iran last week, where he met the Iran president-elect Mr. Ibrahim Raisi, who is a hardliner. It was a very good meeting. And there was, of course, the discussion of Afghanistan was on top of the agenda. Now, it is also believed that after many, many years of humming and hawing, the Indian government has once again come to the realization that the Chabahar port, which is a big port on the Persian Gulf, will and should be the main connection between the between South Asia and Central Asia via Afghanistan. Now, we know, like I said to you before, that the Chinese have been pushing the CPEC, which is the China-Pakistan economic corridor between the Karakoram range and ending in the Gwadar port on the Arabian Sea. So if India and Iran, and perhaps if the Americans or Joe Biden's America wants to help again and perhaps should help again, that could be. So the Chabahar port could become an alternative to Gwadar. There is going to be a connectivity summit in a few days to be held in Tashkent, where the foreign ministers of India, Pakistan and China will be present. And certainly the Chabahar port will again come up for discussion. Now, we shall see how this unfolds and how far India can push the development of the Chabahar port. We shall see whether both India and the US can forget their old enmity of Iran and all three countries can work together. So I shall be watching this space on your behalf. Dear viewer, let me know what you think about this video and do click on the join button and become a subscriber to The Print. Thank you so much for watching.